Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
On the grid, Sports Grid. I'm on the grid. I am Gabe Morenci. We're throwing it down with the one and only, the Raging Cam Stewart. I have a feeling he is going to be raging. Cam, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
Hanging in there, Gabe. Yes, technology. It's amazing, buddy. We're older guys, and we just keep on learning as we go, friend. Doing the best we can, buddy.
Well, I know you've had a long day. As I can see, the sun is setting. Yeah. Right now in the six, getting dark in New York City as well. Now, Cam, you've been living in self-isolation for a little while. You know, you've got your own house. You've got a studio set up. You're not much of a nightclub guy. You're not really much of a bar guy. You like to go out and have some chicken wings and a couple of beers every now and then. But I know you haven't gone out very much during this pandemic. But I know you had to go out earlier and run some errands. How did things go?
Not well, Gabe. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I went to the bank and they were shaking me down like I was a felon. Like I felt like I was on America's Most Wanted with Walsh there. But yeah, they're basically, what is your business inside the bank? I go, well, I have an American check. Oh, okay, that's not a priority. I'm like, well, it kind of is. Having money is a priority. And there's a lineup of 30 people, Gabe, and they basically just sent me packing. It was senior first. I have no problem with the seniors going first, but the line was 40 deep, went back there. They wouldn't let me in again. Just craziness. And outside the grocery store, I had to get some stuff for my folks. Yeah, people are lined up 6 feet away from each other, not letting people in at the same time. It really looks like people are hitting the panic button today. It wasn't a really good day, and plus the technical stuff. Let's just say not my favorite day of the week so far. Usually I like Fridays, not so much. Yeah. I'm having a rough day.
I can't really picture you. So you walking around, you have the gloves and the mask and all that type of stuff when you go out there?
No, I don't got a mask. I don't know what you do when you go to Michael's to pick up your lasagna, but I basically, Lisa gave me just a pair of like winter gloves. I don't have the mask because most of the people in Ontario have hoarded everything because they're a bunch of jerks. No, I don't even know where you get a mask. You go to your doctor's office and say, hey, can I get a box of masks? Like, I just walk around with gloves and try to stay away from people. But, you know, Gabe, I've been back like at Morenci Studios. We've been basically self-isolated for a long time. Like, since I started doing the shows from home, I'm basically used to this COVID-19. I've been rocking it for about a year and a half. The only difference is I see people a little bit more, and you're right, go for more chicken wings, a couple brews. Now I just do everything at home, but I have been practicing self-isolation for a very long time.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, the hoarding of stuff is ridiculous.
It is.
You know, there's no food shortages out there, people. Like I said, like I we talked about this last week. I didn't see the head of the toilet paper company saying we're out of toilet paper. They're not out of toilet paper. Like, it's amazing to me. And the other thing is people are freaking out. They're buying like every like cleaning product right now.
True.
And, you know, listen, the stores, you know, surprisingly enough, in like New York and New Jersey, it's not pandemonium. It really is. I think, you know, New Yorkers are used to like crises and they're tough. And you know what I mean? It's like, hey, settle down. Stop panicking, kid. Like, you know what I mean? Yep. Everyone's pretty chill here, even though it's the epicenter of this. Like, there's no difference. Like, really, you go to the store, it's kind of the same. You can tell the people that are freaked out, like, you know, they've got their mask and they're all looking scared. And everything. But my suggestion is, Cam, you know, if there's a Costco, if there's like a Walmart or something like that, just go in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's not going to be a lot of people around. I've had no problems. I went to one liquor store. I wanted to get a couple of bottles of wine. Yeah. I hadn't drank at all through this. I figured, ah, you know what? I'll kick back, have a couple of bottles. Not a couple of glasses. I was like, yeah, I'll get a couple of bottles.
Yeah. I'm with you. Hey, you never know what's going to happen, Gabe. Enjoy yourself. You're right.
Well, Kevin, that's it. I bought 2 bottles of wine and a six-pack.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. That's perfect.
That's right. Exactly. I figured, all right, you know, two bottles of wine and a six-pack. I decided to get into the wine first. I crushed the 2 bottles of wine, but hadn't drank in like 3 weeks, got to me a little bit. 2 bottles of wine can get to you.
Oh, wine's good. Wine's a creeper booze. People don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
You drink wine and I drink wine like Gatorade, but you forget it's 11%, right? So the first couple drinks, you're like, this is nothing. It's just grape juice. And then boom, it'll give you that creeper vibe. But you're absolutely right. It's funny too, Gabe. I got a great story for you. Same type of thing. I went to the beer store and it was closed. So I see these kids there, kind of like the neighborhood lurkers. I go, where do I get beer, guys? They didn't tell me the hours have changed. First, they didn't take my empties, too, because no one wants to touch the bottle. So I got a car full of like about $50 worth of empties. I go up to the kid. I go, where do I get beer? He goes, go to Walmart. I go, Walmart? They sell beer? He goes, of course they do. I go there, Gabe. No beer at my Walmart, though. No, this location, alcohol-free. That's what I did, and I went late.
Well, you live with the Mormons? Like, what the hell's going on?
No, exactly. I went there, but I did find something else, though. The Korean markets that stay open till 11, they have a lot of booze and stuff. So just be innovative. Check your local neighborhood places. But that kid really pissed me off. He wasted my time. I went to Walmart. There was no booze.
I've seen pictures online on Twitter of shelves where all the beer is gone. Like, people are hoarding beer now, too. It's true. So they're selling more beer now than they did before this, I think. So the people are ordering beer except Corona. So the Corona's there all the time because people are idiots, right? So, and I actually drink Corona beer.
And
you get the look. Like, I got the look. I went in, like, same thing. Even so, I went to the wine store. Normally very nice people. It's a small little place, like a very mom and pop type place, even called Dad's. That's the name of the place. And really nice. They're really nice people. They really are. So I knew they were open because it's an essential service. The alcohol stores have been deemed essential, dispensaries, weed, et cetera. So I'm like, all right, I know it's open. I go over and I see a line. And I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, man, why are people so stupid? I'm like, come on, guys. Like, just act normal and everything will be normal. It's like traffic. If one day don't act like an idiot and everything will go smooth. Like, just like, so I get there and it's out of a movie, dude. It's like the movie Contagion. There's all these yuppies, and they've all got, like, designer masks on, and, like, there's couples with their dogs. And they're not, like, 6 feet apart. They're, like, 20 feet apart. Like, the line's, like... So I'm like, what's going on here? Like, they're so spread out. So I walk up, and all I say to a girl and her boyfriend are there. I look at them, and I say, is this a line, or what's going on? Like, you're all scattered. She goes, she freaks out. We're not supposed to be talking to each other. And turns away from me.
Oh, wow.
I'm like 10 feet away from her. And I'm thinking, what is it, North Korea? You're going to get shot. They're all standing there looking scared. I swear to God, people that I've seen in line at hospitals look more chill than these people. It's like, dude, you're waiting in line for a liquor store here. Like, chill out.
Exactly.
And so I go up to the window. No one would tell me anything. Everyone sort of looks away, like, same thing, like I'm a pariah, right? So I go up to the window. And it's like a sliding door, and it's sort of open a bit, the crack. And the guy comes over, staying far away on the other side of the glass. He's like, what do you want? I'm like, what's the deal here? What do I give you the money through the door? And, you know, and he goes, look, read the sign. There's like a little piece of paper. And it says, I need to email the store my order.
Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. And so I said to him, and when do I get the order? What do you mean, email? I said, and he goes, email the order and get in line, and we'll call you when you're ready. Dude, there's like 20 people in line or something. The guy's a jerk. I've never seen him at the store before. So I say to him, I said, listen, I know it's kind of weird times now, but wouldn't it just be easier if you just, like I told you, you know, can I get that bottle and this bottle? I give you the money. You can pass it through if you don't want people in the store.
Yes.
I said, email. And he's like, same thing, like walking away, like a zombie in a Walking Dead. And I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you people? It's like, this is the first time I experienced that sort of like, what's wrong with all of you? Like, you got to chill out, people, all right? You probably already all have it right now already, and you're breathing it back in your own mouth with your mask. Imagine the irony.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So I'm standing there, but I needed the booze, Cam. So now I'm mad. I'm like, this effing coronavirus. And I'm like, and I'm like mad at myself. I should have come earlier because I went near closing time. I should bring that up. I'm like, I should have came earlier, these idiots. But I thought there's another store a couple of blocks away. And it's a bigger sort of big box alcohol store. Call the place. You open. They're like, yep. Go in, Cam. Totally normal.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the store was fine. All it said, there was a sign that said, please keep your distance from people when shopping.
Yeah.
I went in there. There was like six people in the store, nice and casual. Got two bottles of wine, a six pack of Corona, and in and out of the place. And, you know, it makes me not want to go back to the other place now. It's like,
you chill out.
You're acting all crazy. Like, you make people nervous like that. If everybody just sort of calms down, it'll be fine. Except people aren't calming down right now at Kirk Herb Street. And I don't know I think Kirk Herb Street's great. I think he's a little bit of a homer for Ohio State.
I got to be honest with you, Gabe, and me and you agree on a lot of things, but I gotta give him a lot of credit. He does those games, and I think a lot of the time, you know, he wants to say like "Go Buckeyes," but
he's good. I'm not saying no. He calls it like by the book. He does.
Yeah, the less homer. Like, imagine another guy that people that we know, what schools they went to, how they would be. Like, you're either gonna be Hawk Harrelson and go over the top crazy, or you're gonna be kind of, you know.
I think he can't make anybody happy because Herbie, even Ohio State fans think Herbie's too critical of them.
Exactly.
Right? They're like, oh, he hates us. He hates his own school. He's not, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, no, I think he's great. But I don't know. Like, Kirk Herbstreit, he's almost perfect in a sense, Cam. You know what I mean?
Close
no controversy. You know, clean-cut guy on ESPN. You know, never rocks the boat. Gets the job done. People like him. You know, he's just, you know, he's good at what he does. You got to give him credit. He's very good at what he does.
Big time.
Yep. He upset people last week because he went on Twitter and he said what a great job he thinks Cuomo does during these press conferences. And Cuomo's a Democrat, right? And, you know, college football is more right wing, Republican. So people flipped out at Herbie. Hey, keep your politics to yourself. And I don't follow you for this. And Herbie even said, he said, I'm not getting political. And he said, and you know, he was lying. He said, I don't even know what party this guy is in, but I think he does a good job. All right. Yeah. You don't even know. I don't even know. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, people are just, come on, Herbie. Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, Herbie doesn't like to rock the boat at all. So he took it there. Now people are pissed because Herbstreit says he doesn't think there'll be a college football season.
I got to tell you something. I kind of like his honesty. People don't want to hear things that are negative. And sometimes you're the bearer of bad news and I'm the bearer of bad news. Wouldn't you rather us have an opinion or tell the truth rather than sugarcoat something? Hey, all these leagues are pushing back dates, Gabe. We're not here. Hey, we're here to stay positive too. It could happen, sure. But you talk about college football, 100,000 plus people, the Big House, Beaver Stadium. Like, there's these places hold a lot of people. What are you going to do? Have no fans in these games? And you talk about it. These dates are getting pushed back. The only thing that's going to work, you brought up a great idea, and I talked to Blessing about it too, like a warehouse for basketball, it could work. You test the people, you play, you quarantine, you go out, you play the games, it makes sense. College football is a totally different animal, Gabe. You know that.
Yeah, and you can't even do it for, even the NBA is impossible. You're not going to be able to test 15 guys, quarantine them, referees. Look at one game, all right, that Utah Jazz-Detroit Piston game.
Yep.
Basically, one basketball game led to four people getting coronavirus.
It's very
that
true.
We know of, that were tested, yeah. Right? Christian Wood of the Pistons, Donovan Mitchell of the Jazz, Rudy Gobert of the Jazz, yeah. And a cameraman that was working courtside. That's four people. Like, there's too many people involved in these operations. Like, a college football team, guys, is about 90 kids,
exactly.
100 kids. You know, you'll have 75 kids and there's a bunch of the other kids standing. They don't have names on their jerseys and whatever. And there's a lot of people around. Coaches, man, these staffs, there's like 20 coaches on these coaching staffs. The coaches are all in their late 50s, 60s, some of them in their 70s.
Yep.
They're all very vulnerable, these people. The problem is too, and like you said, and this is, we're not getting ahead. And people basically said, to Herb Street. Oh, shut up, Herb Street. You're not a doctor. You shouldn't be talking about stuff like this. No, he's not a doctor, but he's the biggest name and the biggest announcer, analyst in college football, talking about college football. So
yeah, I'd listen.
Yeah, like Kirk Herb Street didn't get on Twitter and start talking about vaccinations and saying, this is my opinion on how to solve coronavirus. He was asked about college football. And I'll tell you what, we spoke to Matt Marshall of the Orlando Sentinel, great guy, and he covers college football. And it's very real. I know people don't want to hear this, but it's the same thing for the Olympics. College football teams just don't show up on Friday and start the season Saturday, guys. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame head coach, says that if he's not open for business on July 1st, he's got a big problem. And he's saying that basically he can't be ready for the season. Like they won't be ready. They can't be ready. There's already talk of killing all non-conference games, potentially. And I'll tell you right now, no fans. Like, that's...
No.
That's like... And moving forward, I have to wonder... Guys, society is going to change as a whole so much after this, all right? Think about the things that we used to do commonly that right now you'd be like, what are you, insane? Think about a movie theater, Ken.
Yeah, good point.
In the old days. 600 people crammed in watching like the new Batman movie, all squeezed in there, right there together.
People waiting outside in those like, lineups to get the Star Wars, you know? Like
you're literally right next to people, you know, subways into work in the morning, crammed face-to-face commonly. It went for me, being in New York City, where literally, like most people, it's not normal, but like it's like Bangladesh or something, Ken. Like basically... You just hope, like, I hate to say it, but I would just make sure that I was next to a chick. If I'm going to be pressed up against somebody, you don't even have to be hot. I just don't like being squeezed up against dudes on metros and stuff.
Hey,
I don't care. Old lady, fat skin, I don't care. Like, it's like, whatever. I'd rather, like, I don't even like sitting next to dudes on buses, like, as it was before. Like, you think of all this stuff. So, as you stated, you're going to put 118,000 kids in a big house in what, 4 months from now? Good luck with that. Good luck with that. It won't happen. And as Kirk Herbstreit stated, and he's pretty real about it, and listen, he's a smart guy. That's why.
Yeah, he's very bright.
He's a smart guy. And he basically stated, and he said he thinks 12 to 18 months. And they said, well, why 12 to 18 months? And you've heard this a lot from people. And he said, well, until there's a vaccination out there, how are you going to put all these people together? And it's a very good point. Now, listen, you know, we're just throwing it out there that what's going on in the college football world. To make you feel better, this is, you know, it's like a movie. We started off kind of, but yeah, it's like, here's the positive. Yeah, make you feel better.
Hey, don't worry. Things get better.
Yeah, exactly. Think about this. Oh, this is depressing. No, it gets better. We do have lines. Normally, point spreads don't come out until, like, you know, June or something. I remember it's always a big deal, the Golden Nugget games of the year and stuff. Whatever. FanDuel's got college football lines up for almost every game right now already. So on the plus side, if you're like, nah, you guys are crazy, we'll share some of the lines with you. But it's becoming real, and we'll get into some of the numbers that are posted out there. I'll tell you now, there's not going to be an NHL season. I'll put my name on that. I'll tell you that hockey is done. We are not done, and we promise we'll make you smile, we'll make you laugh, we'll make you cry, we'll make you scream.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get on the Grid Sports Grid. I am Dave Lorenzi. We're kicking it with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Cam, things are getting so bad now. Wrestling's in doubt now. Moving forward.
Roman Reigns. He's not going to WrestleMania. They're questioning that. Like, if Vince McMahon and wrestling can't get it together, things are dicey.
Yeah, exactly. we're desperate times call for desperate measures. I ask people this. I mean, you're not on Twitter too much, but you are a bit.
I'm on a little. These days, I've been on a little bit more. I just have more time to read stuff. But yeah, I'll go on Twitter for you.
So people have been betting on this simulated football.
I'm not down either. Here's the thing, Gabe. They had a simulated hockey game. It was St. Louis and Washington. You know, it's just these simulated things, they don't get me going. Like, you know what I mean? It's not live. It's like, I like computers. Don't get me wrong. I played a lot of video games. But this simulated stuff doesn't get me excited. And I've always told you, even when I went to the casino, the electronic blackjack, the electronic games, anything that's, you know, has a preconceived an algorithm. I kind of like that human element, which has been really hard for me with my gambling, but I'm not down with simulated games, hockey, League of Legends, anything. I'm just not a simulation guy. I don't know how you feel.
Neither am I. And it's funny because I did get into the virtual soccer. It wasn't simulation. It is. It's virtual. It's a little bit different. But same thing. I was doing it on Saturday nights when I was drunk at 2 a.m. to have fun. And I got dumb, though. It started off with, I'll put 10 bucks on this little game. It's like a soccer game, Cam. There's only like 3 possessions per team. So it goes up and down the field. The game's like 1.5 minutes. So it's fast, which means it's dangerous, right? Like anything, I started off like 5-10 bucks a game. And there was one night, Cam, like it was like 450, 500 per game.
Yeah, you're going nuts.
I won, right? I'm like, I'm up 600 bucks. I'm like, and then next thing I'm betting 300 bucks on these like virtual soccer games that are lasting like 70 seconds, right? And then I'm getting mad. I'm like, freaking Ghana. I'm like, that's the last time Ghana screws me. I was getting mad, dude, at like the virtual teams. I'm all like, virtual Germany suck, all right? I'm like virtual Germany, but it gets in your head. Cause then, I was like, there were patterns, right? I was like, man, Germany's the favorite. They always draw. Like basically you have to think like how evil they are. But it all started with me telling people, never play that stuff. It's like playing blackjack and all these things. You'll win the first few times.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really like they're like cracked. You're like,
yeah. First time.
Hey, first one, first off, exactly. Free kid.
Yeah, the right? Guy's new bar. First beer is free.
Everyone's skeptical. I'm not going to win playing this. It's virtual. I'm not going to win. Yeah. They know you think that. And then you get roped. And then, so I'm not getting into this stuff either. I'm not going to lie. There's times, and I'm okay. I think we sort of needed the rest. I saw, I think it was Rufus Peabody talked about it. He's a very good handicapper out there. And, he's finished in contests and stuff like that. He's, he's big time. And he basically stated, it was smart what he said. He said, I never realized how drained I was and how draining betting on sports every day for all my life was.
It's a good point.
Like, it is sort of like it's relaxed for a second, right? And now I'm more selective because now I see, and people will, like, I got a tweet the other day, oh, Morenci, there's a basketball game in Belarus going on at 11 a.m. tomorrow with these women.
You
figure
it out.
I'm like, guys, I don't care.
Exactly.
You know what? It's like you stated. I'm not judging people for doing it.
Nope.
If you're trying to pass time and get an itch, but I'm like you, I'm betting to win money, right?
Yeah, well, we have
I'm
bills
not betting because I'm bored. I'm not bored. I got a lot of things going on, pandemics or not. I'm never bored. Life's too short to be bored.
I agree.
So I'm not sitting around trying to pass time betting on simulated football. And I'm not going to bet $100 per simulated match And then if I bet $10 on it, I get nothing out of it and no rush. I don't care. It's a waste of time.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
So it's a waste of time. So, hey, the other night there was an Australian soccer game. I knew. I'm like, man, these Australian soccer games always go over. I know because I'm a degenerate, and I always used to lose betting the unders in this league. This is where my knowledge helped. It was a real bet. I knew. And I even told. I told our boy Pete that always tweets us. I said, you know what? I said, this game's going to go over. These games always go over. Boom. It went over. I waited. That was the last bet I made, Cam. It was about 5 days ago. It is what it is. When I see another spot, I'll hop up and in. Until then, it is what it is.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I've been very selective with everything too, Gabe. It's actually weird. It's almost like this pandemic is, when it comes to gambling. I'm not saying I've stopped, but I used to, in the afternoons, exactly what you said, like play every race.
You're firing away for the sake of it.
Just firing a
when it comes back.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
The key.
I agree.
That if it's like, all right, there's 20 games on now, I don't care.
One. Yeah,
you don't get it already. You're right back. You're like Big Card Julio. You need it. You're like, just bet four.
you would have been proud of me, man. No, I had the horse racing channel up the whole days, and you know what, Gabe? I had at Bet365, I had $200. I turned it into 480, and I wanted to play like every race after that. You know what I did? I went enough. This was a very positive day. You can play all these tracks at night, Australia, whatever. Take a break. Like it's hard to win. Like it's what you say. It's like. All the times that you're just firing away, you don't think when you need that $50, when you need that $120, right? It's like every little bit helps. And you're absolutely correct. When this thing comes back, I think we're going to be a lot more selective. I'm not going to say there's not going to be nights where we don't enjoy the card, which we will. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going to bet on everything just for the sake of betting and killing time. That's one thing. Our selectiveness has really helped us.
I don't believe you. I got it.
I swear to God, it's the truth.
This is like you say you were eating salad.
Nope.
This is like, no, you're more disciplined now, but I know when it comes back, you're going to be all in. You're going to be all in on every damn game and every race.
It hurts. I'm all positive for you and saying, hey, you know, you stopped your stuff. You still don't believe me.
No, I got to keep it real here, Cam. I love you, but I got to keep it real.
I'm keeping it real.
This is like when I got you on the spot, you said, I eat salad. And I'm like,
no, I do eat salad.
And then, yeah, it started, and then you're like, wow, no.
I was gonna say I eat a lot of it, but once in a while I do. Like, I have homemade lettuce.
I do not eat salad. I'll say, I don't eat salad.
I actually eat broccoli. Not all the time, but when I have salmon, like if I have a salmon, I'll have a vegetable with it, but I don't tell you the time that I eat deep dish pizza, French fries, fried chicken, wings. Like, that's the thing. I have salads. But they're very intermittent. You know what I'm saying? They're not a regular occurrence.
it's worked for you so far. Why shake things up? That's why they say, don't make friends with salad.
Don't make friends with salad.
She's like, hey, I made cold soup for everyone. Go back to Russia.
That's true. No, I like that, though. I don't believe you, Cam. I'm like, hey, no, I really did. I was really happy.
I'm like, I'm sure people watching right now, they're like,
believe me, it's true. But
I thought about this, too. People are like getting all mad and stuff. Yeah. Oh, I want to go out. I can't do this. I can't do that.
I don't worry about it.
Settle down like you were a Catholic before, right?
Exactly.
Like people sit on their ass and watch TV all the time, and now they're getting paid to stay home and watch TV, and they're complaining.
That's a great point. I saw another tweet. You're like, oh, all you idiots are out there saying, oh, you want to go out and watch the game? What are you going to do when sports comes back? Sit on your fat ass on your fat couch and watch the damn game. So shut your pie hole.
I thought about that the other day. I'm like, all these people are crying. Social isolation. I'm like, all you people do already is sit at home and bitch on Twitter as it is. Right? So... Like, and now the government's even giving you a check for it.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, really, all you have to do is sit at home and watch TV, and you can't even do that properly. Like, this is how useless this generation is. And I thought about it, and back to The Simpsons, and The Simpsons knows everything all the time, is there's an episode... there's an episode when they're all locked in the seniors' home.
Oh, yeah.
And Abe Simpson, he goes, we can go outside again. They go outside. He opens the door. I don't like the looks of those teenagers. And they go back inside, right?
That's right. I don't like the look of those teenagers. Bring the salad over, honey. I want to prove something to Gabe. Bring the salad over.
You need salad live on the air here.
Yeah, show me the bag of salad. Bring it on. Yeah, see? Yeah, here you go.
Going bad.
Yeah, it's going bad. I got to eat it tonight, but there's a bag of romaine.
Yeah, it's going bad because it's been in your fridge for so long because you never eat it.
Caesar salad tonight, baby. Let's go. Yeah, you're right, Gabe. I haven't been eating it in a long time.
I'm not judging you.
You judge me with the betting. Ah, you know, you're going to go back and bet everything. I'm like, no,
you will. I stand by that. And I probably will too. But like, that's the whole thing. We're all saying, all right, discipline, discipline. Yeah. But think about it. Exactly, Cam. Everyone's like, oh, I want sports back. I want to be able to go outside. Well, what's going to happen when sports come back? You're going to sit at home watching sports all the time.
That's a great line from The Simpsons. I don't like the look of those teenagers.
So listen, the first college football game up, we told you, listen, we got some numbers. First college game up, Notre Dame and Navy.
Oh, boy.
Notre Dame and Navy. And Notre Dame are 16.5-point favorites.
They covered last time when they played Navy last year at minus 14. They destroyed them. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was one of the yeah, Navy were good last year. I remember that game. It was a bad bet. I was on Navy. We were kind of in it. Yeah, you know, Cam, that game was closer. I think it was like 35-7 or something like that. I remember that game. Navy were kind of in it, but
Notre Dame's a good team.
Notre Dame turned it up a notch as the game went up. Notre Dame are good. I don't even like Notre Dame.
No, nor do I.
But I give them more credit than the average person. It's funny. Remember in the old days, Notre Dame were always overhyped. Now they're underhyped.
I couldn't agree more. And you warned me. Like, I remember I was on Notre Dame that game, and I told people I really liked them. But you warned me in the bowl game. When they played Iowa State, I'm like, oh, Iowa State, whatever.
Notre Dame was all over the Irish. They killed them.
I was wrong. And Notre Dame kicked the living crap out of them, and I'm like, why did I bet on Iowa State when Notre Dame's 100 times better than these guys? But, yeah, no, it's interesting.
Man, it's taken me 49 years to figure Notre Dame out, all right? Like, honestly, like, I've gotten good with Notre Dame, Reese, like, over the last few years. I used to just always bet against them. And I'd lose. Like, exactly. I used to bet against that Tony Rice and Lou Holtz, and, like, all the time I'd bet against Notre Dame, and it would cost me. I hated them. And then I sort of stayed away, or I'd pick on them a bit, and they were bad for a while, and they were sort of easy to bet on. But under Kelly, they were tougher to read. But Notre Dame are good. They just get tattooed in a title game type thing.
That's like true. There's
Notre Dame, you know what Notre Dame are? You know, Notre Dame are like a fighter who are going to beat everybody except the champion. Right? They're like one of those type of fighters. They're just like, yeah, listen, he fights 12 times, he's going to win 10 of them. He might lose to the title or the champ and the number one contender, but he'll beat most of the people that he faces. That's the action. So for the record, 16, that game's in Ireland. So I'm just saying, Ken, think about the challenges of like college football already. Hey, guys, first game up. Well, it happens to be in Ireland.
That's not happening.
In August.
I'm sorry. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, like we're going to Ireland?
Yeah.
Really?
Like your lock of hockey, I would say the same thing. Yes. Like, people, are you not listening? There's a travel ban going on, and you think you're going to take the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and Navy to Ireland to play a football game? Get bent. That one we can guarantee. That's not happening. Sorry.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the first game up of the college football year, August 29th. Welcome to Ireland. Yeah, that's like, that's done. Like, almost right now, we'll tell you that game's not happening. They're not playing in Ireland.
God, no.
And Ireland's under lockdown now, too. And they're about to. And you know, this is how much of a crazy world it is right now. Tom Brady's on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's like, wow. Like, yeah, I mean, like that pass.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it, because I guess like I should be smarter than this, but I never really thought of the whole TB thing.
Yeah, TB. Yeah. TB.
Tom Brady, Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay?
Yeah, TB.
Tuberculosis, but we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, well, thanks. Well, Cam, we're trying to be positive here. Like, you guys want to bring up lupus now? Lupus.
Yeah. Scurvy? You wanted another TB. I just gave you TB.
Yeah, because I know that Tom Brady's filed for copyright. TB plus TB.
That's great.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of TB type things. But I was going to say, it's such a crazy world right now that Conor McGregor did a video. I think this like son of a bitch is going to like run for office or something. Like He acted like he was like the prime minister. Like he's sitting in a chair and he goes, I'm Conor McGregor and I'm here to address my people. And he gave a really good speech. And he basically stated, don't listen to any officials. Don't listen to anybody. This is the biggest, like, it was very impressive what he did. I was surprised. He's like, I know big fights, and this is the biggest fight I've ever seen. He's like, stay at home. He's like, if I see you, he's like, stay at home. And he's like, basically, he's like, this is serious. And he goes, this could go on for a long time. We have to take this seriously. And then he donated $1 million to family struggling. Yeah, you know, he goes, I got $1 million for struggling people. I'm setting up a relief effort to help people in the neighborhood. And I was like, wow, man, what are we living in here now? When Conor, a guy that does blow off a stripper's back normally and punches people like old men in the face because they don't accept a free shot, is like a voice of reason in the world.
Yeah,
like, it's the end of the world, Cam. It really is.
Yeah, it's pretty weird, man. And that guy, it's funny you mentioned that, Boris Johnson, he got it too, right? So he's in charge of the UK. He's next. So
for the record, he didn't think it was serious.
No, he's like, I'm shaking hands and stuff, and the guy's joking around. Yep. Next day, he gone. You got it, bud. Like,
I know it's a virus. I know it's a virus, and it doesn't think. But I got to tell you.
It feels like it does.
There seems to be a massive pattern of people that mock this thing that get it.
Get it. Yeah, no, you're right. Don't mock it.
No, there really is. Like,
don't think
Bear laughed at it. Charles Barkley said, no fans. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. This ain't nothing but a flu. 2 days later, he's in quarantine.
Exactly.
You know, all those spring breakers, they're starting to get it. I read in the paper, some chick, same thing, 21 years old. She did some video. You know, out with her friends eating, laughing about coronavirus. Well, guess who's in the hospital today, Ken?
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, funny. We go one by one, exactly. Of people that, like, that's why, listen, Mr. Coronavirus, we fear you.
No.
I fear you, I'm aware.
You're near me, just, you know, I'll walk quietly and tiptoe the other way. Don't get near me, man.
He's a tough guy. There's a pattern of people that are deniers. And then laugh about it and get it.
Mockers get it. You're right. Deniers, mockers, and clowns, they all get it, too. Hopefully, I know. I'm trying to stay away from
deniers, mockers. It's like Seinfeld. All they do is mock.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Get on the grid, sports grid. I am Arensi, and I'm on the grid, and so is the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. One of the cool things, and next week we'll get back into the NFL draft props.
Yeah, it was fun.
So we'll start to go through the more different positions, and yeah, there's a million props out there that we'll jump on. But one of the things that we're having a great time with is answering your questions. It's a great way to keep you interacting, you know, with us, and you know, during these times when we don't have a live chat during the show. So as always, we got a bunch of questions that are coming in right now. But I talked about college football point spreads. So we said, listen, you know, we gave you, this is what we're doing. We're giving you both sides of the argument. Kirk Herbstreit says he highly doubts it. We bring it up. You guys watched the interview I did with Matt Mushell of the Orlando Sentinel. He covers college football. He says they're not there yet in college football, but it's definitely coming up. It's a concern. The head of Boston College's sports law and business and ethics. I guess this guy's like the go-to guy in America. He's like the best sports business law ethics guy out there. And he said it earlier in the week. He said, in my opinion, there will be no NFL or college football. And that was him. And they were like, wow, really? And then they started asking coaches. Dennis Dodd did a great piece in CBS Sports about it. Mack Brown, Brian Kelly, the Georgia Athletic Director, Bronco Mendenhall, all were saying it's a legitimate possibility. But so if you're like, nah, and, you know, people are split on this, you know. I think if you didn't believe how real this is, you should start waking up to it, but... if you don't, we give you both sides. Hey, Notre Dame and Navy, they're playing in Ireland, if you believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, go buy plane tickets for that right now. See how that goes. It didn't even happen. They didn't even have a flight. Yeah, like, it's not even planes going there. Like, yeah. I don't even know what people are thinking. Like,
I don't know what to tell you, but if you don't get travel insurance, you're a moron.
You got Arizona's at Hawaii. Arizona's minus 10 and a half.
Take Hawaii. I'll take Hawaii as a dog, please.
Utah BYU is a fun game in week one. There's a week zero. You know what a cool game? And you know what, Cam? It's too bad, too, because on September the 5th, okay, let's play poly positive.
Yeah.
On September the 5th, that's when the Kentucky Derby would be.
Yeah.
The Kentucky Derby would be Saturday, September 5th. Alabama, USC, September Woo! The 5th.
Yeah.
Alabama, 13-point favorites. Washington and Michigan.
Oh, what a game, buddy. Old school. We're going old school. Mark Brunell.
Yeah, like a real nice old, like Big Ten. Yeah, they played in the Rose Bowl in the old days. Real old school Pac 10, Pac 8. What was it? Pac 8, Pac 10?
Pac 10, Big Ten.
Yeah, Pac 10. You know what I mean? You know, it's Pac 8, Pac 10, Pac 12, still Pac 10, etc. But you know what I'm saying with the name. So, yeah, Michigan, 1-point favorites. That game's in Washington. That game's in Washington, actually. I was surprised to see Michigan, 1-point road favorites in that game. The Alabama-USC game would be at Cowboy Stadium. Yeah, I'll tell you now, and this I'll put my name on. I'll guarantee you. There'll be no fans.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There will be no fans.
100% agree. There won't be anybody there.
Like, if Alabama play USC on September the 5th in Dallas, Texas, it will be an empty Cowboys stadium.
Ghost town, yep. That'll be weird to watch a game there with nobody in that facility. Man, that's crazy.
Well, then you get into the argument where why play in these big facilities then? Like, if the field is good, like even the NBA talking about that, like they're dead set on this. Like, let's say the NBA comes back, right, this summer. Yeah.
Thomas and Mac?
I guarantee you there's no fans. Like, that's like 1,000,000%. There's no fans. Like we said, moving forward, you wonder about the future of fans as a whole, like forever almost. And I'm talking about the concept of it. It's going to have to change. Isolated, different. You're not squeezing everyone in anymore. Like, times are going to change. But yeah, they were basically stating that if we're going to be in an empty arena, why be in an arena? Man, we just need a good gym. We need a good floor and enough room for the cameras and stuff. So as you stated, the NBA was saying, telling teams, like, do you have another arena? Thing is, like, Rico is a dump. So what, the Raptors going to play in the Rico Center? No. Maybe their practice facility, which is
am nice. I playing where the 905s play at the Paramount Center? It used to be the Hershey Center. That makes sense.
Yes, exactly. So, and like, stuff like that. But there's challenges, guys.
There is.
Like, you know, like, look at New York right now. Like, the Brooklyn Nets would be in the playoffs, right? Brooklyn can't play in New York right now.
No, they cannot.
Like, New York shut down. And I know the time goes, but not really, guys. Like, if you listen to any of the experts, we're still heading into the eye of the storm here. We're not even into the worst part of this yet. So basketball won't be a priority. You know, hopefully, and listen, I really, really hope I'm wrong. Normally, I don't like being wrong with these takes, but God, I hope I'm wrong, Cam. And college football starts and basketball's back and everything's great. So let's get to some of the questions. We did the best Raptor of all time. our boy Kyle, who's a big Dallas Maverick fan, asked, who do you guys think is the best Dallas Maverick of all time? And it's not really much of, you know, can we go, can you go anywhere besides Dirk? No.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, really? You can.
What, are you Mark Aguirre?
No, I was going to go a couple of guys. What about
Mark
Finley?
Mark Aguirre to me was
what
great.
What about Finley? What about Finley?
Yeah, Michael Finley's great. Good, very good. Great, one of the all-time great Mavs, but he's not on Dirk's level.
No, it's Dirk.
Nowitzki is. Come on.
Is the best Dallas Maverick. I'm just saying, thinking
you
outside
can argue
the
who the two guy is almost. It's Dirk. You to me, a guy was a great Dallas Maverick was Jason Terry.
He's good. Jason Terry's good. Mark Aguirre. I'd go with Michael Finley.
Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd had some good years there. Steve Nash played there a couple of years, but not, no, he wouldn't be. I would go with actually number two, Mark Aguirre. And then in the three hole for bronze, I got to go with, you got to go, Gabe. Don't you think Michael Finley, like he was amazing with the Dallas Mavericks. He was a scoring machine.
What about Luka? Is it too soon? Not played enough? Because he's damn good.
Close, though. He's very
good.
Yeah, he is very close. Another couple of years, he's a lock. Like, actually, next year, he's a lock. I agree.
All right, we were asked, I don't know who asked us this one. I think it might have been Coach Mac on Twitter. Somebody, whoever, asked New York Knicks. New York Knicks is, the Knicks are such a storied franchise, but when you really break it down, they haven't ever really been all that good that much over the years. But they've had some great players. Listen, when it comes to the Knicks, what do you value here? Do you value the championships with Walt Frazier?
Yep. You know, or longevity of success with Patrick Ewing.
Or Patrick Ewing, who, you know, was the, like you said, the longevity of the Knicks and Patrick Ewing, the face of the franchise, one of the all-time greats in Patrick Ewing. But the thing with Walt Frazier is, it wasn't just like nice suits that he has now, Ken.
Oh.
Like he freaking dominated, bro. Like, you know, like in a game seven, man, in the championship against the Lakers, he scored like 36 points, like 19 rebounds, like, you know, over the top type of numbers, carried them to a couple of titles. Willis Reed is big because there's the famous Willis Reed moment where he walked back in, right? He was injured and he came back out in a game seven. And that was the game, actually, that that Frazier totally dominated in. Like, Frazier was a freaking stud. You know, before there was a Raptors, Cam, you know, growing up, I never really had an NBA team. I was more of like a fan of players.
Players,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I liked Dr. J. The Sixers were, you know, Dr. J and Tony and all those guys, Mo Cheeks and Moses Malone, and you know what I mean? Like, you know, I liked them, but I wasn't like a Sixer fan per se. I like players, but I like the Knicks, like, because I like Bernard King.
Good call.
You know, so you have Bernard King, who scored more points than anyone for the Knicks ever. He averaged like 32 points a game type of thing in the season, but his career was shortened by injury. Man, there's been a lot of great Knicks. I mean, those Knicks teams that made the finals and it had the feud with the Miami Heat.
Hate to say it, Carmelo Anthony, good years. You want to talk Chris Childs? Yeah, there's some guys, like, that's the thing. I love about Walt Frazier, though. He is still Mr. New York. You talk about his steakhouse, doing the commercials, no play for Mr. Gray. Your beard is weird. Your stash is trash. He gets the intangible vote for comedy as well. The guy's hilarious.
The winning puts him over the top over Ewing.
Yeah.
I put Ewing 2, Willis Reed 3, Bernard King, you know, not quite at 4. Melo is interesting. You know, a guy that, like I said, all those guys on that team were all awesome, right? But the thing is, they weren't there forever, and it was sort of like Latrell Sprewell was great when he was with the Knicks.
Yes.
Right? Latrell Sprewell was great. Larry Johnson was on fire for a couple of years with the Knicks. Mm-hmm. My favorite player, crazily enough, I love Larry Johnson, but like I said, I was a big Knicks fan of that team. It was, you know, pre-Raptor, just when the Raptors were coming into the league type thing, was Allen Houston.
Allen Houston
hit a massive shot that any Knicks fan watching now remembers, of course, against the Miami Heat. The famous, he came in, he made the layup, and he looked into the camera.
Yep.
I got goosebumps now. Yeah, he looked right into the camera. He's one of the first guys to do it, kind of. Like, people, you know what I mean? He went into the camera and he did, like, the fist, like, and, like, people, you remember, like, that series was so heated. It was, like, game, set, match, like that, right at the end. Man, they suspended everybody, guys. Like, people don't realize that. They suspended everybody, all right? There was, like, a bench-clearing brawl, and the league was flipping out. They're like, it's getting out of control. You're not really even playing basketball anymore. The final scores, guys, were, like, 80 to 76 stuff.
First team to 80 wins.
No, it was really, like, 76-76 with 4 minutes left sometimes, right? It was like basket brawl. Like, everyone's pushing each other. And, like, it was very like, it wasn't graceful. So there's a big brawl and stuff. And everyone's suspended because everyone left the bench. But what are you going to do? It's the playoffs. And it's, like, to go to the – it was the second round. It wasn't even, like, to go to the finals. It was, like, the second round, I think. And, like, they're battling like nuts. Like, they're killing each other out there. They suspend everybody. And it's one of the craziest things ever. I'll never forget it, too. They're like, well, what are you going to do? Suspend everybody? And Stern's like, yes, I will. People are like, how the hell are you going to suspend everybody? You can't suspend everybody. You got to play the game. And he's like, oh, you know what we're going to do? We're going to suspend you in alphabetical order. And then, Cam, you have to randomly look. Oh, my God. Like, it's A through G. And you start adding it up. And in one game, the Knicks had a big advantage. It was like Ewing, Houston. It was like all the early Childs.
Yeah. No, like
Knicks alphabet was good, like
hilarious.
Like from the A to G's, but they were screwed after, right? And so it's hilarious. Because, like, how do you do it, like, randomly? You're going to randomly suspend guys. They went, whatever, alphabetical order for the rest. So you guys missed this game. And that was my idea for the Houston Astros this year. Because people are like, how are you going to suspend all the Astros? Well, that's what you do. You tell the Astros, you're all suspended for 2 months.
Yep.
All of you. Every single one of you on the team, even if you weren't involved, you're suspended because you're on the Astros and tough. That's the way it goes. So you're on the Astros, you're suspended. And I would have done it like that because I wouldn't have said, well, listen, we're going to suspend like Altuve and everyone at once because, you know, people pay for tickets. You're not going to let the farm team play in their place. But I would have went in alphabetical order, too. I would have said, like, there's 25 of you. 8 of you are going to miss the first 3 weeks. The next 8 of you are going to miss the next. And then to make it random, it's alphabetical order.
That's a problem.
So in other words, Altuve, but it would help because Altuve would only miss the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but he'd be out with Bregman. So you'd miss a couple.
Exactly.
Talking about Springer.
You
like Springer. Springer would be S at the end. So,
and Correa.
And Correa, A, B, C. That's a big problem for the Astros. That's a big problem.
Yeah, well, that's not a big problem because nothing happened to them.
Yeah. Excellent point. Yes.
All right. M. Jackson. Morency, did you ever go to a casino with Craig Carton? Quite the question.
Yeah, I've never even met the man. You know him a hell of a lot more than me.
If so, what was the most amount of money you ever saw him lose? I'm not hating. I'm just curious, he asks.
Curious. Great question. Yeah, how much money did he lose at the casino?
No, I never went to a casino with Craig Carton. I went out with Craig Carton on a couple of occasions in New York City to, like, bars and stuff. But I never went to a casino with him. Yeah, his casino stories were kind of documented. And I think... and I don't know, right? You never know what someone has lost, but I think he lost, Cam, about $450 in a night before.
$450,000.
Yes, yes.
Wow. Holy Wow, you think a couple grand's time? That's a big chunk of change. No, I'll give him.
Yeah, you're a big star. You're going to get markers, right? So the Atlantic casinos, bro, Carton needed credit. They were giving it to him. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, they were like, that's Craig Carton. Like, they're like, give it to him, right? So I think, like, he told a story once. Like I said, I wouldn't tell anything that I would never share. You know what I mean? And the thing is, I wasn't like best friends with him or anything. I didn't, you know, I worked with him briefly and I got along with him. But he told me once, basically, yeah, he got like $250,000 credit one night and basically lost it.
Wow.
Like at a table, 250. But he also had nights where he won, right?
Yep.
Right? Like, you know, I think one night he won four mil.
Did he invent those NFL Band-Aids that I got when you were cleaning out your area? Yeah, great ideas. Like, I really, that is a great idea. Like, he had Band-Aids, and Gabe's like, there's no, I go, you got Seahawks? They're like, nah, they only got Eagles left. So I got a bunch of, like, packages of Eagles Band-Aids. They're fantastic.
Really, he's a really smart guy.
Yeah. They're bandages with the Eagles logo. I go, what a great idea. That is a brilliant idea.
He goes, I got scammed in a Band-Aid deal. And I said, Band-Aids?
Great story.
He had a lot of stories. He was like, trust me, like he had like ideas. Like, that was his problem. He had too many ideas, right? That was his thing. Like, he had ideas and ideas. Yeah, exactly. Like, he's one of those guys,
you know, a hamster.
Like, exactly. Like, you know, you're out partying or whatever, and you know, you're just sort of in party mode. He was one of those guys that, you know what we should do? Like, you don't have to speak in the morning, you're drunk. Like, he's like, I just got an idea. Like, he's just like, everything was like on all the time with him. Really smart guy, like I said.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.